Hello and welcome to week four of the official Arizona Fall League podcast. I'm Dylan Higgins, joined by my co-host Nate Rowan. Nate, how you doing today?
Doing well, Dylan. Week three, we saw plenty of offense and great individual performances, capped off by a 20-run outburst by the Salt River Raptors on Saturday, and several players in that game had pretty good games.
In this episode, we're going to talk to some of our players of the week and the pitcher of the week from last week. I'm also joined by Mike Schilt, manager of the Salt River Raptors from the St. Louis Cardinals organization. I also sit down and talk to Matt Perk, one of the many excellent pitchers from last week that put up some pretty good lines, and he was named our Week 3 Pitcher of the Week here in the Fall League. Has had an outstanding time here so far. And I also grab his pitching coach on Mesa, Mike Marath, who enjoyed a career with the Detroit Tigers and is now here with the Tigers organization coaching some of those Mesa arms.
And I had a chance to catch up with Tyler Naquin of the Cleveland Indians and Surprise Saguaros, the player of the week for this week, and his hitting coach on Surprise, Rich Gedman of the Boston Red Sox, who enjoyed a nice major league career. And also had a chance to catch up with a unique guest on the podcast this week, John McLaughlin, who is a longtime scorer in the Arizona Fall League, certainly provided some useful information in regards to scoring and the rule book here in the Arizona Fall League, but also with Major League Baseball. So stick around for those guests.
Finally, after these interviews, Nate and I are going to preview the Fall Stars game, which is basically our all-star game here in the Arizona Fall League. That's going on this coming Saturday, November 2nd at Surprise Stadium. Got a lot of talent, just the best of the best from the Fall League, which is already kind of the best of the best from the minor league. So that's a must-see event. It'll be on MLB Network, and we're going to preview those rosters and what there is to expect coming up with that. But first, here are those interviews we mentioned with some of those people from around the league. Welcome back to the Arizona Fall League podcast. I'm joined here by Matt Perk, pitcher from the Washington Nationals organization and the Week 3 Pitcher of the Week. Congratulations on your award, Matt.
Thank you so much.
So you're doing pretty well so far here in the Fall League. You're pitching for the Solar Sox, who lead the Eastern Division. Do you have any insight as to what's really fueled your success so far on the mound?
Have a really good group of guys playing behind me. We're playing really good defense. We're hitting the ball, scoring runs, and taking the pressure off me, so it's easy to work out there.
And do any of these guys really stick out to you? I know there's a lot of top prospects here for Mesa, but anybody really impressed you with the glove behind you?
It's tough. Chris Bryant plays really good at third base. Addison Reed's made a lot of really good plays at short, especially with some of the balls I've had. Taylor Lindsay, Wes Darville. Last game, Wes Darville made like four or five really good plays. So I'd say it's not just one. I'd say the collective effort, our outfielders as well, they've been able to track balls. And they've really made it easy for all of us pitchers.
And how about your regular season? Does this feel a lot different down here in terms of pitching in the minor leagues than coming to the Fall League?
Oh, it's a little different. Typically this is a hitter's league, and so there's a lot more runs scored and a lot more hits and home runs and stuff like that. But, you also have a lot of guys. There's top prospects from every organization. You got guys playing behind you and playing against you that are, the best and going to be big leaguers. So it's a really good test for everyone to see kind of how they stack up against the best in the minor leagues.
Is there anything you're trying to work on while you're down here specifically? Any pitches, anything about your on-the-mound presence that you're trying to maybe work on while you're in the Fall League?
My biggest thing is just coming back from surgery, trying to make all my starts. I've had the last couple of years where I haven't been able to pitch as much as I wanted to and stuff, so I've been trying to just make all my starts and go out there and pitch and compete and try to command all my pitches in the zone. And, pitching is something that always changes. It's never set in stone. You never know enough or never good enough. So it's something you can always work on to be sharper and crisper.
And finally, how's Arizona itself treating you? I know everybody really likes the weather down here. How's the state of Arizona and your stay been so far?
Well, it's great. It's great. The weather's, it's beautiful. The games aren't too hot. We're playing good. It's good baseball, and everything. And it's nice to be out here, and it's definitely fun.
Thanks for taking the time to join us.
No problem. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Arizona Fall League podcast. I'm joined here by Mesa Solar Sox pitching coach Mike Marath. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
What have you seen from him on the mound that's kind of led to his success?
Things stick out for me. He's gone out there and been very consistent, but he's attacked the strike zone, done a nice job of keeping the ball down, and he's got really good stuff. He's relied a lot on his fastball down in the zone, and it's got some movement on it, some sink, and it's been big for him. He's been consistent, and he's been able to make his pitches when he goes out there every single time.
So the Solar Sox off to a great start, leading the East Division. Have a lot of good arms on your staff. What can you tell me about some of the other guys you've seen here on the team that you've been coaching?
Well, one of the good things is that, you know, we got some good arms, some guys that throw hard. But not only that, we got some guys that can go out there and compete and throw strikes. You know, that's the key for any staff is you got to be able to go out there and throw strikes and work ahead in the count. We've done a pretty good job of that, and our starters have given us a real good shot. They've gone out there and got the game going off to a good start. And then we've had our bullpen come in and been able to do a good job of just shutting down the door.
And how about some of these guys from the Tigers organization? You come from the Detroit organization. Any of those guys that you're more familiar with, maybe from coaching?
Yeah, I've had a few of them. In particular, Collier, Tommy Collier. He was with me this past year, so I've seen him quite a bit. But he's done a good job out here. He got hurt during the season, and so he has plenty of innings, and that's why he's out here to kind of make up for some of those innings. He stepped right in and been able to go out there and do a really good job.
And finally, how's Arizona itself treating you? I know everybody's really happy about the weather while you're down here in the fall, but been able to get up to much here in your off days, or how's Arizona for you?
Oh, it's been great. You know, I was out here, and I played in the league 13 years ago, so I was a little bit familiar with Arizona and had one spring training out here, so knew the weather was going to be nice, and it's always nice to be able to go out. And on off days, I've gone up to the mountains a few times and been outside, but I tell you what, it's you can't complain about the weather here.
Thanks for taking the time, Coach.
You're welcome.
With Tyler Naquin, the Week 3 Player of the Week for the Arizona Fall League of the Surprise Saguaros and Cleveland Indians. And Tyler, since you've got here, it seems like you've hit pretty much every day and it seems like you're seeing the ball well. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you know, just going up there one pitch at a time. Just taking, you know, the same approach every day, maybe different for each pitcher, but, you know, just being on time. You know, I believe you can hit anyway as long as you're on time, and that's the main thing. Keep your routine in the cage, keep it every day, and don't shy away from that if that's what makes you good and makes you consistent. You know, you got to stay along with that.
Seems like occasionally you see a guy go up and give away an at-bat here and there, but it seems like since you got here at least, there's none of that. I mean, how much pride do you take in that, knowing that you're not going to be an easy out for anybody?
Right. You know, even if we're losing by 10 or whatever and it's the bottom of the ninth and there's two outs, I'm the last guy. Like, I want that pitcher to know, you know, like, hey, if you ever face me down the road again, I'm not a, you know, no walk in the park. You know, you're going to have to throw your best stuff at that right given time. And if you don't, you know, I plan on hitting something hard, whether it's an out or not. But, you know, giving away an at bat, you know, I've done it. Everybody's done it through their career. And just, you know, I'm still really young, so I'm trying to learn it as quick as I can. And, you know, that's something the Indians guys, they preach a lot on. Hey, don't give at bats away no matter what. Because when you get to the big leagues, you know, that's where it all counts. Every pitch, you know, every move matters. And, you know, it's just something I'm starting to take a really big grasp and a hold on is just be sure I battle every pitch no matter what it is.
And when you went to Texas A&M, you moved positions, and you moved to right for a defensive reason. And you're back in center, and while you may be the player of the week for your offense, notice your defense here. How big a part of your game is your defense?
It's big. It's just as much as offense. You know, my job is out there to, you know, run down balls, get the balls quick, so I don't even have to make a throw. One of my best tools is my arm. You know, and if I have to make a throw, that's just, you know, a positive for me to be able to, you know, that I do have a strong arm in order to hopefully, you know, throw somebody out. But, you know, I think the main thing is just get to the ball fast so you don't even have to take that chance of a bad hop or offline or anything. But I'd say, you know, my defense is just as much as my offense. I mean, a lot of people like to hit, they say growing up, but if you get to this level, they better be about the same because they both matter, a big part of it.
In 2012, you and teammate from Texas A&M, Michael Walker, were both selected in the first round. And obviously you've seen what Michael has done and now going to be working game six in the World Series. You know, how much pride does it give you to be an Aggie alum with someone like Michael Walker?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, there's, you know, people say that traditions, it's big and it means a lot down at A&M. And you don't really understand it until you go there, you participate in, you know, the tradition, whether you just attend school or especially in sports. You know, football games are big, baseball games, basketball, every sporting event, even tennis, swimming, everybody's there. And just, you know, to play with Mike, you know, it's an honor. He's, the world can see now that he's one heck of a pitcher. And, you know, he's the 19th pick. I was the 15th pick. And, you know, we keep in touch from, you know, very rarely. But me and him are good. We're good friends, and you know, we're not going to text each other all the time. He's getting text messages and phone calls, emails, probably, I mean, everything day to day. So I'm not going to bug him at all. But he, you know, he's doing awesome. I'm proud of that guy, and you know, hopefully I'll see him up there soon.
You had your first spring training this last year with the Indians, and you're now down in Arizona again for the Fall League. Any recommendations, restaurants, sightseeing places down here for people who are listening that may be outside of the Arizona area?
We stay over there at the off of Dysart Road, and we go to the Black Bear Diner, and that's about the only place that I've been. So other than that, In-N-Out Burger, that's pretty solid, so that's good stuff.
That's Tyler Naquin of the Cleveland Indians and Surprise Saguaros, our Week 3 Player of the Week. Stay tuned. His hitting coach, Rich Gedman's coming up next. Joined now on the podcast by Rich Gedman, former major leaguer, and out here is the hitting coach for the Surprise Saguaros and hitting coach for Week 3 Player of the Week, Tyler Naquin. And Rich, what have you seen from Tyler so far in about 3.5 weeks with him?
Well, he's very quiet at the plate, has good direction to the ball, hits the ball to all fields, can hit all types of pitches, really sets up early for the pitch, and has very good plate discipline. And his swing is so short and quick that he can wait a long time, sees the ball long, and you know, he's put some quality swings on the baseball. He's hit some tough pitches too, so you know, he's tough out.
It's one guy that looks like when he goes up to bat doesn't give any plate appearances away, and sometimes with guys you see that here and there, but he just seems every time he goes up to battle in his at-bats.
Well, it looks like he's not trying to do too much. You know, he understands the type of player he is. He's not a home run guy. He's a guy that's going to make contact. He's going to use his physical attributes, you know, to help him. I think he has an understanding of who he is and what he's trying to do, and he sticks with his plan. And like anybody else, when the plan's working, you try not to vary from it. So he's done a nice job in practice and his approach to the game, and he's really taken care of his swing, and so I'm happy for him and his results.
And when he gets on the base pass, he seems to be disruptive. The pitchers pay a lot of attention to him. He may not have the big stolen base numbers, but you can certainly tell that pitchers are keeping an eye on him. How does that help hitters behind him?
Well, anytime you can get a pitcher a little distracted where they're halfway at first and maybe halfway at home, that they're more likely to make a mistake. And, you know, anytime you can put a little pressure on the defense, it certainly makes it better for the offense. So, it's just the nature of the beast. It's the way the game is played. And, you know, anytime you can force a pitcher to get uncomfortable, where they start focusing more on you than they do the hitter, you're usually going to have good results with them.
Lastly, just comment on your time so far down here in the Fall League overall as a whole and what you hope to do as the Fall League wraps up here the last 3 weeks.
Well, it's still a feeling out process, getting to know the guys, understand them a little bit, help them with their swings, talk to them about the game. You know, I look forward to coming here every day, you know, putting on a baseball uniform and working at the game. And the neat part is I have a group of guys here that it seems like they look forward to it too. And it's nice to come to the park with a bunch of guys who want to play the game.
That's Rich Gedman of the Boston Red Sox, hitting coach with the Surprise Saguaros, hitting coach for our Week 3 Player of the Week, Tyler Naquin. We'll be right back on the podcast.
Welcome back to the Arizona Fall League podcast. I am joined here by manager Mike Schilt with Salt River and the St. Louis Cardinals organization. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Doing pretty well. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast. How is Arizona and the Arizona Fall League treating you here so far?
Outstanding. First-class league, first-class facilities here with the Rockies Complex, shared with the Diamondbacks, and the league's well-run, highly competitive, and we've got a great group of guys and a tremendous staff.
Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the players here that you've dealt with on your team, specifically from the St. Louis Cardinals organization?
Yeah, we've got 7 players that we've sent out here, and in no particular order. The guy that you know, is off to a good start, Stephen Piscotty, done a nice job, swung the bat, playing a good right field. You know, uses the whole field, and you know, he's got some stolen bases out here as well, so he's played well. And staying with the position players, James Ramsey's done a nice job. He's played all 3 outfield positions and done well and taking good at bats and continues to work on, you know, what this league's about, you know, some of his craft and his base running and so forth. And Jacob Wilson is playing second base and taking good at bats for us.
And were you familiar with any of these players before coming out here? Had you coached them?
Yeah, I had Steven and James, and pretty much James a little about two-thirds of the way through the season in Springfield in the Texas League, and Steven came about the halfway point. Just had Jacob in an instructional league setting before, and from a pitching standpoint, we got Lee Stoppelman, who we had this year in Springfield. Did a nice job. Actually got to Memphis, which is pretty amazing, well-deserved in his first full season professionally. He was in last year's draft. And Anthony Farrar pitched with us in Springfield as one of our relievers, as is Dean Kiekeffer. And our starter, who actually starting today's game for us, Sam Gaviglio, sinker baller, slider, and his changeup's becoming more effective pitch for him.
Can you tell us also about some of these players, maybe from other organizations? You seem to have a lot of top arms there in the Salt River team between Stroman and Sanchez and Montgomery and Hutchison. Seems like a pretty good rotation for you guys.
Yeah, we've got good pitching. Speaking to Hutchison to start, this is a guy's got Billy Tom and is coming off Tommy John and throwing the ball really well. It's coming out good and clean, and he feels good. And he's pitched very well since he's been out here. And you mentioned Sanchez. Sanchez pitched last night, threw the ball really well. He's got a big arm. Was able to really pitch with his fastball early in the game, and then he broke out his breaking ball, and man, it was a tough mix for it was a good outing for him. And Montgomery's throwing the ball well. I'd seen Mike in AA last year when he was with the Royal organization, obviously now with Tampa Bay in that trade, but good arm, good breaking pitch, nice plane to his fastball, lankier guy, done a nice job for us. And so, and then Marcus Stroman's done a nice job. He's starter during the year, but based on innings and opportunity here, he's pitching out of the bullpen, and he's got a lot of weapons coming out of that bullpen. Fastball, he's got a plus fastball and a lot of life to it, and he's got a slider, which is a put away pitch, and he's got a changeup, which is can be a swing and miss pitch for him. So, when our catchers catch it, they have a field day because they just, they can throw anything down and feel comfortable with it. So, a lot of weapons.
And how's Arizona itself treating you? I know the weather's probably a pretty nice change here in October, but what have you been able to do in your little bits of free time while you're here?
I'm pretty low-key, and it's Scottsdale, which is where we are. It's a beautiful city, and it's a great area, and the weather's outstanding. And we actually had a cloud in the sky today, and I was really surprised about that. But, I've been able to enjoy some of the restaurants around town and some of the scenery, and went to a Arizona Cardinal game, went to play my hometown Carolina Panthers, and so stay pretty low-key, but being able to get out a little bit when we have some time off.
And then can you tell me a little bit more about your own coaching experience? I know you coach your teams to three consecutive championships from 2010 to 2012. What were you doing before that, and then how was that experience for you?
I started with the Cardinals in 2004, but prior to that I'd stayed mostly in the collegiate ranks and done some part-time scouting with the Major League Scouting Bureau. And 2004, John Mazalok, our Major League General Manager, interviewed me and I accepted a scouting position with an agreement that I would coach a little bit in the summer in our short season clubs. And I did that for 4 years, scouted, then go with the New York Penn League club in the summer. And then we made a decision about 2008. I was going to go into player development full-time, and opportunity created itself where Jim Riggleman left to take a managing job in the big leagues. And actually, my first spring training and player development, I organized and ran our spring training as a spring training coordinator, and did that from 2008 through 2011, which allowed me to do that and also manage a short season club. I was in Johnson City in managing capacity 2009, 2010, 2011, and had really good clubs and try to stay out of the way as much as possible and to let them play. And when you look around and you look up and you see, okay, I've been unfortunate enough to be on teams in 2010, 2011, Johnson City, and then last year in 2012 in the Texas League that ended up being league champions. And, you get towards the end of the year and you evaluate your team and you say, okay, our starting pitching's good and our bullpen's really good and our regulars are, we catch the ball and we swing the bats. And, as a manager, your job is to assess your team's strengths and weaknesses. And when you realize a weakness is you, you just stay out of the way and make sure the lineup's posted. So we've got a great organization, great scouting department, great instructors and organization. There's a lot of continuity in the Cardinal organization. It's very well run, and just do my part, and it's been nice to be able to be a part of it.
And then finally, today's Thursday, and you told me tomorrow you're headed to the World Series. Of course, the Cardinals in the World Series against the Boston Red Sox. Is this for work, or is it a mini vacation for you, or what are you doing?
I'm just in a supportive role. People have asked if I'm going to be in the dugout, and if those guys have done what they need to do, I don't need me hanging around the dugout. That's not an option, and rightfully so. So I'll be enjoying it from the stands as just a supporter, and it's the fourth World Series that you know, I've been blessed enough to be a part of in the Cardinal organization. So I've been there in 2004 and excited, and it's just good to be able to go up there and see the guys play, and it's going to be good.
Well, really excited for you, especially coming from the Fall League, and we're really glad to have you. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, and thanks for coming and coaching with us in the Fall League. We're glad to have you.
Absolutely. It's a great organization, well-run league, and it's an honor to be here.
Thanks again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Pleased to be joined on the podcast this week by one of the official scorers in the Arizona Fall League, the always colorful John McLaughlin. And personality-wise and attire-wise, John always brings color to the Arizona Fall League. And John, we appreciate you joining us this week.
My pleasure.
I don't even know where to begin with you because you have so many fascinating stories and fascinating things from your past. I guess, how long have you been with the Arizona Fall League and how long have you been scoring?
This is the 11th year with the Fall League. I've been scoring since 57 as a kid.
And when did you originally learn how to score? Was it something that your dad did or grandfather, or how did that come about?
A friend of mine taught me how to score, so I'd listen to the Phillies games. One year I scored 158 out of 162, listening to games on the radio or TV.
So you grew up in Philly?
No, about 90 miles north of Philadelphia. Okay. A little town called Hazleton, where Joe Madden's from.
So in addition to scoring games, you also dabbled in some umpiring. Tell us about your umpiring experience.
I did the umpiring for 25 years from 71 to 95. Went to school at Al Summers Umpire School in Daytona Beach in 71. Finished first in the class in the rule book test and still did not get a job. So then I was in the Marine Corps for 3 years, got out to go to the umpire school, and then when I didn't get a job, I went in the Air Force.
And how long were you in the Air Force?
20 years, retired from the Air Force.
And then you got back into scoring, and not only scoring but getting paid to score. And the count that you told me the other day, I saw your score sheet and you said, I'm up to, what was the number?
We're a little over 3,500 since 1992.
Now, you come to the Fall League, and you work the Glendale home games this season, but you also will fill in occasionally, and you're at almost two games every single day if there are games for you to be at. Why do you enjoy scoring so much?
Well, the scoring makes you pay attention to the game, and you learn how to spell names you thought you knew how to spell. During the Fall League, I go to like 55 games. If there's a day game and a night game, it's two a day. Favorite time of the year is the Fall League.
Now, the rule book has a lot of complex rules that obviously scorers have to know for obvious reasons. What are some of the rules that the common fan or most fans either get wrong or just don't exactly know the exact ruling on?
Well, there's a couple of things I could think of is if you have a double steal with runners at first and second and one of the runners gets thrown out, there's no stolen base. The other advance is on a fielder's choice.
That's obviously one, and that could be any runner. It doesn't have to be the lead runner or the back runner. It's either runner.
Either runner.
And any other calls that come to mind that you can think of right now?
There's, like if you have runners on first base and a ball's hitting the hole and the shortstop fields it, and there's no way he would have got the runner at first base, and he's late on the play at second base. Instead of that being a fielder's choice, it's a base hit.
And that obviously is judgment and something that you guys are able to employ from time to time.
Yeah.
In regards to plays and certainly errors, and obviously everybody in the ballpark knows what it's ruled, and some of these ballparks people are able to yell their opinion right into the press box window. And in fact, we had someone voice displeasure before the game tonight here in Scottsdale and did not agree with one of your calls, and that's part of the job, I guess.
That was a friend of mine. We carpooled to different games, the games down at Chase.
So you are one of five scorers in the league this year, and you are the score for the Glendale games. Frank Daniel does the surprise Saguaros, and he's been, in fact, you and Frank are frequently together here at Fall League games, except when both teams are home, obviously. Perry Van Hook is the Peoria scorer, and he's out in Surprise, and will fill in occasionally while Frank is away in New York back home. Gary Roush is the official scorer in both Salt River and Scottsdale, and Jim Haining is...
Does Mesa.
And I must say, I'm a little biased, but I think you guys do a great job, and the job is not as easy as people think.
There's nothing to it. There's nothing hard about scoring. All you got to do is pay attention. You know, it's just judgment if a ball is hit too hard to go with a base hit.
Well, obviously, scoring in the fall league, you're a baseball fan, and you used to give tours, went to different ballparks before. Can you explain kind of what that was? And
in 1992, I started doing bus trips. I called Jay Buckley in 91, and it was just before the World Series. I had a list of like 50 questions. He answered all my questions, and so the first year I had two trips go. Second year in 93, there was three buses that went. Then the strike came in 94. So at that point, instead of doing buses, I bought a van. It was like a 8-passenger van. And then I bought an 11-passenger van. So I did that till 2003. When I was doing the trips, I would do 100 to 120 games a year. After I quit doing the trips in 2003 and moved out here to Sun City, the lowest number of games I've gone to is 206, with a high of 247 one year.
So you're a man that loves his baseball and obviously one who enjoys speaking about the call, and something that Arizona Fall League front office personnel have obviously heard about. If they know you, they've heard about the play. And what is the play for our listeners who are unfamiliar?
The play is a play that you'll never see again. 3 years ago, it's the only call that Tyler Barton of MLB.com and I have disagreed on in 9 years. And what it was there's a slow slow humper where the second baseman came in. It was a do or die kind of play. So he went and scooped it and flipped it up in the air. So I called base hit right away because it was not ordinary effort. Well, the ball flipped to the pitcher. Pitcher picked it and threw to first base with the ball and the runner getting there at exactly the same time. We had runners at second and third on the play. So when the first baseman caught the ball, he came down like his arm was hurt. Found out later he broke it in two places. The runner from second had stopped at third and then continued on. So Tyler thinks that because he stopped, it should be a fielder's choice and an error on the play. In the book, it says, ordinarily, if the runner stops, it's a fielder's choice. Well, I didn't think this was an ordinary play. So since that time, I've gotten a birthday cake for him, which included the play.
In fact, this year it actually had a picture of the play, a still shot of the aftermath after the first baseman was injured.
Exactly, and we had put that picture on the cake. On the play, Tyler thought that it should be an E3 originally. But if there was an E3, then there'd be no base hit. But it was not ordinary effort, so there was a base hit on the play. So instead of an E3, he changed to an E1. And that's the way he left it. He went back and checked the play that year that Albert Pujols broke his arm on the exact same type of play with the same type of throw. And there was no error on the play. It was just a base hit. So my contention was that it was a base hit and two RBIs, since it was not an ordinary play.
So you've done some umpiring, and obviously you've umpired in different systems four-man crews, three-man crews, and even two-man crews, which you often see in high school.
At the high school and college. I did high school, college, American Legion ball all over the country, you know, traveling around in the Air Force. And some of the mechanics, with a two-man system, there's only two times you take your eye off the ball, but you always know where the ball is. If you're umpiring at first base and there's a base hit to the outfield, you come in and you make a pivot move so that you can see the runner touch the bag coming around first base. So you know the ball's on the ground in the outfield, and then you pick it up when you make your move. And the only other time you take your eye off the ball is a pop-up behind the plate to the catcher. You just stand 15, 20 feet away from him and you let him take you to the play. But you know the ball is up in the air, so you know where it is, but you don't see it. All the other time, you watch the ball because the ball takes you to the play.
What are some of the odd rules in the rule book or not in the rule book that a lot of people mix up?
I wouldn't say it was an odd rule, but if you look in the rule book for the definition of a check swing, there is none. When I was going to the umpire school, all they said was on a check swing. You hear announcers say the bat crossed the plane of the plate and all this. All it is, do you think he offered it the pitch? It's just that simple. It's just a judgment call.
Which is what umpiring ends up being a lot of times anyway.
Exactly.
So nothing new there. Any other rules or non-rules that are either interesting, unique, or a lot of times just not known correctly by fans?
Well, there was a play the other night at Glendale. It wasn't umpiring, but it was scoring. We had Byron Buxton pass a runner at first base on a ball. We had runner at first. He hit a long fly ball to center field. Center fielder got his glove on the ball, hit the wall, and dropped it. And he hurt himself on the play. The runner at first was tagging up. So Buxton passed him on the bases and just went off into the dugout. The runner from first moved to third on the play. So Buxton got a base hit because he reached first base and he was called out for passing the runner. So there was a put out to the first baseman. I think that's the only time that I've seen that happen, except for the Harvey Haddix game where he pitched 13 innings, 12 perfect innings. The game was won by Milwaukee on a home run by Joe Adcock. But Henry Aaron thought the ball stayed in the ballpark, so he just left the baseline between second and third. So Adcock passed him, so he was called out, and he was credited with a double instead of a home run in that game. And I believe that's the only other time that I've heard of that happening.
Well, John, I speak for everyone in the front office. We appreciate official scores. You guys do a great job, and we thank you for joining the podcast this week. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
All right, that's John McLaughlin, the colorful John McLaughlin, and we will continue with the Arizona Fall League podcast after the break.
Welcome back to the closing segment of the official Arizona Fall League podcast. I'm Dylan, again joined by Nate, and as we close out today, really want to bring your attention to the Fall Stars game that's going on this Saturday, November 2nd, at Surprise at 5 o'clock. Really the all-star game for the Fall League every year. It's basically full of talent. As much as the Fall League is full of talent, this is the best of the best from the Fall League. We have 21 of the top 100 prospects in all of baseball playing in one game, and I really don't know anywhere other than maybe the Futures game that you could see that kind of talent.
Players from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise make up the West Division rosters, and that's highlighted by Byron Buxton, the top overall prospect according to MLB.com. Buxton is joined by a talented group of players from the West, including two of the top catching prospects in all of baseball, Jorge Alfaro and Austin Hedges. Alfaro of the Rangers, Hedges of the Padres. Both have played well to begin the season, and both will be behind the plate at some point in the game. Other top 100 players include Alex Meyer, Eduardo Rodriguez, Garen Cecchini, Colin Moran, Eddie Rosario, Corey Seager, Jorge Bonifacio, and Delino DeShields. So certainly a talented group of players on the West, but as well as the East.
Yeah, making up the East Division rosters are players from Mesa, Salt River, and Scottsdale. They're led by starter Kyle Crick, as well as pitchers Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman. Some really strong arms coming from the East. And then Peter O'Brien and Andrew Susak, also strong backstops playing for the Eastern side. Chris Bryant, CJ Crone, Kyle Parker, Albert Almora, Brian Goodwin, Jorge Soler, Addison Russell, just a ton of top prospects that you'd have to really search the minor leagues for, and they're all not only playing here in the Fall League, but they're playing in one game on Saturday in Surprise. It's a really big event every year. This is also the first time you can catch the Fall League on TV nationally. It'll be on MLB Network for you to watch. I know a lot of people have been really eager to hear about when they can catch Fall League games on TV, and this is the first time this season, and something to be really excited about.
Each organization has at least one player in the game, which I think is equally impressive to the names, that not only are the top prospects available, but that each organization is able to offer a top prospect. So no matter what team you cheer for or root for during the season, you're able to see some of your top prospects on display in this game, and certainly gives a fan from every fan base a reason to tune in.
So once again, on Saturday, November 2nd at Surprise Stadium, it'll be 5 o'clock Arizona time, live on MLB Network. We'll hope to at least see you at the park. If not, you should tune in and check it out, because it's a pretty big contest. You don't see this much talent on the same field very often. I want to thank Nate Rowan for joining me on the podcast, as well as John McLaughlin, Mike Schilt, Matt Perk, Mike Maroth, Tyler Naquin, and Rich Gedman. Those were some great interviews, and we're really happy they took the time to sit down with us.
We appreciate having those guys in the podcast. Once again, for all the up-to-the-minute news on the Arizona Fall League, check out MLBFallBall.com. You can also follow the league on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is MLBAZFallLeague. I also want to remind fans that on Wednesday, we will be doing a live broadcast from Scottsdale Stadium, 12:35 Mountain Standard Time start, so tune in then, as well as Friday night's game, 6:35 from Salt River. So make sure you tune in for those, and once again, we appreciate the guests for joining the podcast. Thanks for listening this week, and we will see you at the park.